our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer, yes, He is, yes, He is, God, my Savior. Yes, He is. How great is our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is due our God.
Sing, God, my Savior.
God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer, yes, He is, yes, He is, how great.
Amen. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Here. You know, I was in Sunday school and they talked about this mic, so if I'm messing it up, just yell at me. I'll go wherever I'm supposed to go. But, you know, I was thinking about two things. I was thinking about the kids going back to school. We had an event tonight, and I felt a little bit of nerves on my kids. And I understand that. I've been right there. But, you know, there is a Son of Man ministry here that told me, when you walk into the room, God is the most important person in the room. And that's a godly humility, because if they touch you right, there's eternal life right there. So as you step into work or you step into, just remember that there's not a more important person in that room. So as Brother Jim has told me, keep your head up. There's no chin marks on your chest, because you're representing God. And God's already went before you. You know, I was singing about that song, Past the Curtain of Time, and I looked it up today because I always like the words. But then there were some additional words, and I just wanted to read it because it really encouraged me today, and it was just on me, so I just want to share it. Y'all, the song is, I'm so homesick and blue, and I want to see Jesus. I would like to hear the sweet harbor bells chime. Amen. It would brighten my path and would vanish all fear. Let us look past that curtain of time. And then it says, let me look past the curtain of sorrows and fear. Let me view that sunny, bright climb. It would strengthen our faith and would vanish our fear. Let me look past the curtain of time. But this is the part I really liked, and I never heard it until today. I was reading it. And Brother Branham was telling his congregation, he said, Lord, let them look past the curtain of time. I'm sure. Lord, if this little church this morning could just look past the curtain, not an affliction among them, there never could be. Not a sickness, nothing but perfection. And it's just one breath between here and there. I like that. It's just one breath between here and there. From old age to youth, from time to eternity, and from a weary of tomorrow and sorrow of yesterday till the present time of eternity and perfection. And I'm just excited. Like, the Sunday's message on the dynamics of walking us right out of here, it is so real to me, and I'm just excited that veil is going to drop very soon.
Amen. Amen. I'm just so thankful for the rest we have. You know, I had a coworker the other morning, and it's so early sometimes. I mean, I come in at 5, and guys are just ready to talk. I'm like, chill out a little bit. But there's so much going on in the world, and they're just talking about things to come and whatnot, and predictions, just whatever, presidential stuff. And this guy was like, how am I expected to believe a book that was written thousands of years ago? I'm like, well, it's pretty easy, actually. You know, I believe it. Too much has happened for me not to believe it. You know, that I've seen come to pass. Prophecies that they made thousands of years ago, they have come to pass. And I see it so clear, you know. And but the rest is that he doesn't have to believe it. He just has to believe in me. So my coworker is going to be fine, you know, and I'm just so thankful for this. So go ahead, brother.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to get up here tonight and just express my complete and utter gratitude for just waking up this morning. Sometimes I forget in the bigger scheme of things, with all the stresses and all the worldly things that we deal with, just him waking me up this morning is one of the greatest things to be
something to do.
Grateful Amen, for. Bro. You know, and it goes down to the smallest thing, and he provides for us all. He provides for me daily. You know, through my struggles, even when I don't believe or want to believe that he's even here, in the past I've been in situations where I'm like, you know, it's all me, I'm all alone. And little did I realize until I had this revelation here that he's been with me the entire time, my entire life. He put me here. Amen. So I just find solace in that, and that's all I've got.
Amen. I just want to jump in here and identify. You know, I'm so grateful. You know, I'm going to take a little page out of Tommy's book. I'm grateful to be here right now. I'm grateful to have woke up, you know, and I was looking at, I went to the doctors and, you know, had a checkup just to see where my health was and everything. I had all green, you know, all the way across the board, except for just two things, you know, cholesterol, because, you know, I love to eat, you know. And so got to work on some things. But, you know, God's been good, you know. He's given me good health, and so I want to use that to push this message forward. Every good bit of, you know, health that I got, everything that I've got, it's going to come here. It's for this purpose that I come into the world. And, you know, I asked for prayer Sunday night for this work that I've been doing and stuff. And, you know, God's provided in such glorious fashion. So, like, I went to Enterprise Roofing and, you know, I was trying to get some scaffolding, and I ended up getting it. And they said, you know, if you need anything, brother, you come right back here, and you whatever you need. I'm like, man, right on. You know, I got some scaffolding, and I got everything I need to get the job done. God, if you just ask him, he'll give it to you. You know, I just bring it here to the body and let the body pray for me, because, you know, more is better. More is better than one. You know, of course I can pray. But, you know, if I get everybody else to, you know, all those other licks of fire, you know, let's burn this thing. Let's burn these prayers up. Let's get them. Let's get whatever he's got to give. And, you know, I'm excited to be here because that word is so important. It's changed everything in my life. It's done everything in my life. Even the times where, like Tommy said, you know, when I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, when I can't see it, when I'm in the thick of the craziness out there, he still delivers. And, you know, it just helps build my faith, and he gets me through each thing. And, you know, I see my kids' progression and seeing how, you know, they're developing and everything like that. And they want to be here. And that's just such a blessing to just grow. Now I know how you feel, Brother John. You got your whole family in here. Hey, this is first generation. God, they're eating. They're virgin born, you know. So anything that they produce, you know, they're going to be right here sitting in these seats with me. So I'm just so happy to be here, and good to see Sister Beth and Brother Dylan. Man, I'm just, this is a blessed place. God bless you guys.
Let's sing 204 and the Only Believe. What a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the
sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day. Shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, oh, what a day, what a glorious day.
Time.
Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes
time, and I'm so grateful to be here. And I think Amen. About what a day that will be, and it's going to be a beautiful day, but we have a wonderful time here. You know, I have all the answers. You know, I think about dynamic power. It's not just when I'm in church. I take that with me everywhere. Every Amen. Situation I come across, the people who cut me off, you know, I think about the world, and I feel sorry for them. You know, God did everything. It's all God. You know, nothing I did. Thank God he did it for me. So I don't even get mad at the world. They can't help it. I look at them and I say, I'm sorry for you, you know? And I thank God that we can come here, that we have this, you know?
Amen.
And I always want to be grateful, you know? I always want to take the time. You know, I don't want to always testify all the time, but then I do because God's been so good to me. You know, why would I not speak? Why would I not say this? And, you know, they always say it's by the words of your testimony, you know? We're going to get out of here by the words of our testimony. One day somebody's going to say something. It's by speaking, you know? So I'm not going to just sit there and get these revelations by myself, you know? Like, you have to do something, you know? And it just makes so much sense to me. And
yes.
I think about what I know. You know, Sister Mel, that hit me so hard. I may not know all the scriptures. I may not know all the quotes, but I know what I know. And I'm so confident in what I know. that I would not want to be in anybody else's shoes. And, you know, I thank God to get to be here today. You know,
amen.
Jeremiah, my wonderful husband, is working. Right. You know, he's on a business trip, and he doesn't get to be here, you know. But I get to be here. Right. And I don't want to take that for granted, you know. Amen. Sorry, Jeremiah. I know you hear this later. But, you know, like, he... I just thank God so much for what he's done for me. You know, talk about your family. I thank God for children who are trying, you know, because this world is neurotic in every single place they go. You know, they go to those meetings and they don't put God in. You go to school, you know, my kids were talking about going to school and they don't want to go to school because they know that it's not peaceful. And I tell them all the time, but you've got God with you. That dynamic power goes with you everywhere. You know, Riley had a friend who wanted to talk. She needed some advice. And she's like, Riley, can I talk to you? And Riley's like, I'm pretty sure I have all the answers she needs. And I was like, you're right. You know, because we have the answers for this world. We have the answers for everything. And I thank God. You know, I thank God because I know when I get over there, it's going to be amazing. But I want to be happy here. You know, I'm excited about what I have here.
Amen.
Yes.
sing 206, Pass Me Not, and we'll get him up.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, Savior. I'm singing Savior, oh my Savior. I know he hears it. I know you hear my humble thy throne of mercy. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet song. I'm singing Savior, oh my Savior.
you hear my humble time. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together. The testimony started by saying, I'm just so grateful. We're so grateful to have an understanding, to be in this house, to see that you've always protected us, Lord. We've referenced the story before, and Gehazi just opened his eyes. Lord, those soldiers didn't start showing up. They were already there, Lord. Just opens his eyes so he could see it, Lord. Each service is just opening our eyes to see how much more of the body there is. How much more of the bride there is. We trapped it in just ourselves, Lord, but now we see it's a many-membered bride body. Lord, bless the services tonight to help and strengthen us and edify us and get us to our next step, Lord. Because the step that we're looking forward to is stepping out of here. But while we're here, Lord, we're going to do what we need to do. Lord, bless the prayer requests. Bless those that could not make it here tonight. Lord, bless those that are here tonight. Bless those that are traveling. And Lord, just bless the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I like that song because, you know, sometimes they sing it as a sad song. You know, you've seen it at funerals and they kind of do like a little march. And it's a sad song to the rest of the world because they think God can't pass them by. I'm not singing as if I'm lost. I'm singing it because I know who I'm calling to. It's almost like a child saying, hey, Dad, he knows you're in the room. I can see you. It's not a fear that you won't show up. I see you already. Amen. Just one more time. As a matter of fact, I even love how it starts. While on others, you're calling. That means I'm seeing you call these other people too. Amen. Call on me to do my job. So I love this thing. I love what we get. I love even, you know, how the year's been progressing. It's been a year of dedication, like Pastor Moore said. And I can see this body just getting more and more sincere, more and more dedicated, letting the cares of the world fall off that much easier. You know, there's a scripture that says, lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. You know, and I even thought about that, and I'm going to get to the message here in a second, but I just thought about how, you know, sometimes we talk about going through dark times and those things, and those are real, but, you know, what I've learned, and this is me, I always back my mail from where I'm at, what I've learned is that I can stay in the dark times as long as I want to. When I go to look back, I realize that I got out of it because I woke up. Like, whatever the solution was, it didn't take 3 months for the solution to show up. The solution that I implemented was available day one of the problem. Amen. I could have done it on the first day. I could have done it on the second day. I could have done it on the third day. But I've realized that the sooner I want to drop my thinking, I can get into the light. I can get back in. And that's why it's even, you know, it even circles back to even getting to the house. You know, the every time you get in here, you get a chance to drop your thinking, drop those problems, drop those ideas that are causing it. Because in your own thing, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm going to say this because, you know, sometimes we'll be, I'm in like sales or whatever, and somebody will say, I'm going to think about it. And I even told my son about this. I said, they'll be like, oh, I'm going to think about it. I'm like, well, your best thinking got you to where you're at right now.
Yeah.
Don't go think about it. You've proven that your thinking doesn't get the answer.
Right.
You need somebody that knows what they're talking about. When you come to the house of God, you need to set down your thinking.
Amen.
And say, I don't know what it is. I want God to reveal this to me. If I need some more understanding, God, you give it to me. If I need a deeper understanding, God, you give it to me. Don't think that you can study the Seven Church Age book and get a better understanding. Don't think that you can read the Bible and get a better understanding. There's got to be somebody that preaches the word to you, and that's how this thing becomes life. Oh, that's even when talking about the story of the Ethiopian, he said, how can I understand the words that I read unless somebody preached it to me? I need a man to bring it word upon word, precept upon precept, or else I'll have this thing all messed up. And that's why it's important to get in here where you can get it under the direction, under the leadership of somebody that knows what they're talking about. Oh, brother, because you know what the whole world will do? They, like Brother Schuyler said, they'll just chalk it up and say nobody knows what it is. That's their best defense. Well, nobody understands this. Nobody really knows what happened in the garden. Nobody knows what it was, whether it was an apple or not. Nobody knows what happened in the book of Revelation. Well, there's got to be somebody that's supposed to know what it is. And if you don't know, you should keep looking until you find somebody that does know what it is. Don't look for the answer. Go look and find you a man that knows what it is. Oh, my. That's why I even love how we can even look back on our life and say, okay, I remember going through life not knowing what it was, but now I look around and I say, I know what it is now. It's a little bit different now. Oh, man, let's get into this. Let's get into this thing, because Brother Jeremiah started preaching, and he was preaching about the dynamics.
Yeah.
And I thought, my, it is a quickening power, Brother Jim. Let's talk about that. Hey, see, we preach by inspiration in here.
Right.
When God speaks, I speak. When God moves, I want to move.
And
if God wants me up here for 2 hours, I'm going to be up here for 2 hours.
Right.
If he wants 4 hours, he's going to get 4 hours. But in that same token, if he wants 15 minutes, that's what he's going to get.
Amen.
So I don't limit him on anything. If he wants 100 songs, sing 100 songs. If he just wants a testimony, take a testimony. If you want a quote, take a quote. If you want a scripture, take a quote. I come here not of excellent speech. I'm not trying to wow you with my vernacular abilities and the way I can put puzzles together. I come here to speak the truth and the truth only. Because God knows what you need. I don't know. God knows. Oh, but when Brother Jim said the quickening power, that's another term, Brother Jim. You know, Brother Branham had a point where he said, we come as far as we can in the written word. Did they get away with the Bible? Did they throw the Bible away?
No.
Did he stop referencing the Bible? He just said, we've come as far as we can in the written word and the understanding that you get when you read that. There's got to be something else, little Brock. He, matter of fact, he said, we're going to have to get something else, Tabernacle.
Right.
What's going to have to happen? That token's going to have to intercept there.
Right.
What is the token? The quickening power. What is the quickening power? The dynamics. When you understand what these terms are, life to the body. What's the life? God's the only producer of life. See, these terms start running together. And I thought, well, let me just take a second. See, Brother Jim threw that out there. And I was thinking, I didn't know about going that direction, but I thought, let's take a second there and talk about when we say the dynamics. Okay? So we use the analogy of a car. And this is more so for the kids. And you, if you already know the story, it's all right. I don't want nobody to get sick of the dynamics up to here. Don't do that to me. Brother Jeremiah just preached it, so give me at least one service. But I thought, you know, when we talk about the dynamics, we use the analogy of a car. And so that's simple to understand for everybody. We go, a car has wheels, a car has doors, a car has all these parts to the car. And they say that car won't move unless it has a spark.
Right?
So we understand that part. But so when that happens, when we say that spark or the dynamics come in there, nothing else is added to the car, though. When we give that analogy of the car, we say it has to have gasoline. Has to have wheels. It has to have all the parts. All the components have to be there before the spark happens. That all has to be there before anything else can happen. And you think about this. This body had to be fully built before that quickening power, before the dynamics, before the life could come on there. You don't have to add another part. I'm not adding gasoline to this thing. I'm not adding wheels to this thing. I'm not adding doors to this thing. All that happened was the life came in on that body, and that's what makes it move. When you think about a car, you don't. When you go out to your car, you don't have to add anything to it to make it move. Just has to have that spark. And when that spark goes, everything, what does everything do in the car? It all starts to work together.
Yeah.
It comes to life.
Yeah.
And that car, even the best of them, will start to move a little bit.
Yeah.
It starts to rumble. It's like there's life.
Yeah.
When there's life there, it's got to be some movement.
Right.
Matter of fact, even when they talk about objects, this is just moving slow.
Yeah.
But there's movement.
Yeah.
I'm moving fast.
Yeah.
There's been movement here. There's life here.
Yeah.
And you can see it.
Yeah.
But I thought, my goodness, you know, we do that a lot. We talk about the analogies, and I just want to make sure you understand it. If I say the quickening power, the quickening power means the dynamics. The dynamics is the token. You can't have any of that unless the full word is here. You've got to have the mechanics. The full word has to be here for the quickening power to do what it needs to do. That's what brings it. The fact that it's done is what brings the quickening power. God can't quicken part word. And you say, well, Brother Jay, wasn't the quickening power? God quickens all the word that's allotted for each age. All, 100%. So if God allots one page of word, he's got to quicken that full one page of word. The next age, if it's two pages, I'm just using an example. If it's two pages of the word, God has to quicken all two pages. When the quickening power comes, it's not a half thing. It doesn't quicken a part of it. It has to quicken 100% of the word that's available. So what happens when you get full word? Now you have full quickening power. And when you get full quickening power, now you have rapturing faith on the scene. Because now the only step left to do is to get out of here. Everything else has been restored. All the work is done. There's nothing to add to it. It just steps on out of here.
Right.
Oh, even Brother Jeremiah is talking about how Enoch, he was full of dynamics so much, he just walked on out of here.
Right.
Just walked on out of here. There was nothing left to do. He understood what God wanted him to do, and he's like, you know what? I don't have to be here. There's another group that has that same dynamics. It has that same quickening power.
Amen.
That's this group. Hey, man, let's read a scripture. I'm going to read over here in Matthew. Very, very familiar scripture. We know it a lot, and we reference it a lot. Matthew 16. I'm going to read this here. Let me see if I can get it pulled up. I'm happy to be here. You know, I love the fact that we can still have church. You know, and we're spoiled in that regard. You almost take it for granted. You really do. You take it for granted a little bit. Is that you come to church and you expect God to show up. You don't care. I mean, really, that soul shouldn't care. It doesn't have emotions. It doesn't have an emotion where it, like, cares one way or another. It doesn't care if Pastor Moore had a good day. Don't care if Jeremiah's at work. It don't care how my family life is going. You don't care. They don't care. I don't care what John had to do to get to the Isle of Patmos. I'm sure it wasn't a great journey. He was exiled. But what did you do with the word, John? When that angel started speaking, did you let your distractions get in the way? Did you let your life get in the way? You did what the word called for you to do. That's the same thing that we do. I don't let those things get in the way. We're here for one reason and one reason only. But I thought, let's read this scripture here, and you'll see how I'm looking at it a little bit different now. Because when, you know, and Brother Schuyler, you just hit on such a point there. All we do is simply believe. Other people look at the Bible and go, well, there's no way I can believe that. And I look at the Bible and go, there's no way I cannot believe it. Everything it says has happened. What are you looking for? Do you, and you can go in the simplest form. Do you think Noah happened? No. Do you think Moses? So then what do you believe happened? If this didn't happen, then what happened?
Right.
And if you don't know, then why do you, how come you don't care to know?
Yeah.
If it's that big of a deal that you can discount the whole Bible and all the religions that went along with it, what do you have to replace it?
Right.
Nothing. That's and you know what? That's the problem with the world. They replace common sense, just good old-fashioned teaching, with nothing.
Amen.
They replace discipline with nothing.
Yeah.
They replace just etiquette. Leadership, they replace all that. Husband and wives, order, they replace it all with nothing. Nothing has entered in his place. Like that's even what the guy was telling Pastor Moore. Like when something goes out, it's got to be replaced with something. And it should be replaced with love, but out there it's just law. Everybody makes up their own rules. But anyway, let me get beside myself. Let's read this. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He revealed it.
Yeah.
So if he revealed it, That would mean he quickened.
Yeah.
He quickened the word that Simon had. Simon had heard some words about Jesus, and God had to come in there and quicken it. Simon couldn't quicken those words. Simon had heard the same stuff everybody else had. Matter of fact, Jesus said, who do they say I am? What do they say about me? What are all these words you're hearing? How do they line up?
Right.
And when Simon gave the right answer, he said, oh,
yeah,
you have a revelation. You have a new birth. There's something on the inside of you that speaks to something on the inside of me that lets you recognize where God is at. Nobody else had that.
Amen.
That's why I said flesh and blood couldn't reveal this to you. We can't explain this revelation as much as we try. As much as we try, the best of us, the best that we try to say, here's what happens. Here's what should happen. Here's what should happen.
Right.
I can say it should change your life. I can say you'll want to get to church more. I can say all these attributes of what happened to me. But that's all I can speak from. Right. I can tell you how it changed me. But until it starts happening to you,
right,
you don't really know how to explain it. And then when it happens to you, you can only explain it to people that it's actually happened to. That's it. It becomes an exclusive club.
Exclusive.
It's like having a baby. A woman that has a baby, the other women that have babies, that's a club. Because they're talking about experiences that you and I, as men, will never know or understand. They'll say, no, you remember when the baby kicked like this? And as a man, you go, no. No, I don't remember when anything kicked like that. Do you remember when I had cravings and I just wanted peanut butter and ice cream and pickles? Yeah, no, that sounds ridiculous to me. Right? But that what we say about church, it sounds ridiculous to them. I say, I got to get there on Wednesday. What? Don't you know all the good TV shows come on Wednesday? Oh, you don't want to go on Wednesday. Skip it. They should do Bible study on Thursday mornings. They'll tell you all kinds of things. Oh, I want to go on Sunday. My church is going to something on Sunday. I want to be there. Oh, why do you have a craving for that? Why do you want to do that? Because something on the inside of me. There's a life source on the inside of me that has that craving that I can't even control.
Right.
Oh, that creates that exclusive club of believers where what's happening to me is happening to you. And you can just say, oh, I get it. I understand. That happened to me. I may have not wanted peanut butter, but I do. I sure, my cravings did change. Where I would not work, now I'm working. Where I would once care, now I don't care. When I used to be high and mighty, now I'm humbled. Where I used to not care, now I can't help but care about everything.
Yes.
Oh, there's a change that's happened. God has quickened the word that's been revealed to me. That's what happened. It's now real. That's even when we sing that song, he's real, he's real, he's so real to me. So many people doubt him. See, the song's just telling itself. But I like to make it personal, but I can't live without him. Oh, see, I'm kind of like Brother Tommy. When you look back on your life and see that God's been there the whole time, it makes you appreciate being able to recognize it. Because now when you want to doubt, you go, no, 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 no. I'm like David now. He was with me when I was with the bear. I'm a read on, but this, you know, there's a rumor, okay? Now this is just a rumor. I haven't studied it enough, but I like it. So I'm going to share it with you. This is, like I said, it's a rumor. I haven't studied it enough, but I like it. And you may like it too, but I thought, you know, there was this debate going on about why David grabbed 5 stones. David only used one.
Right.
He hit Goliath with the first stone.
Right.
And the rumor, I don't know, but I like it. That's what I can't say. The rumor was that Goliath had 4 other buddies. So when David grabbed those rocks, he knew he was killing Goliath. And that if those other people showed up, he wanted to have enough rocks to kill them too.
Yeah.
I was like, I like that. I like, because nothing said about the rocks, and I don't want to over-glorify it, but I just look at it and go, he knew without a shadow of a doubt that God was going to take care of him.
Oh, yeah.
And so one part of me is like, why did he grab so many rocks if he really thought he was going to hit him with just the first one? Why would you grab so many?
Right.
But then that other part of the story makes me like David even more. I'm like, that's why he's a man after God's own heart. He was like, I want that Goliath and the next 4 that come with him. Because it was a land of giants. It wasn't just one Goliath. It was a land of giants. And he was like, I'm going to need 5 of these bad boys. Because if his 4 buddies show up, I'm going to hit them right between the head and their eyes, just like I killed Goliath. He prophesied about killing Goliath before he did it. He said, I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword.
Amen.
And then ran towards him. Woo!
That's somebody that knows that God's there.
Yeah.
He ran towards him. He didn't walk and meekly go. He took off running.
Yeah.
Oh, and he said, Brother Jay, what does that have to do with anything? Well, when you get that quickening power that God is talking to you, you'll run towards what God wants you to do. Oh, there was a time period where Moses was on the backside of the mountain for 40 years, not understanding. But when he got a revelation what God told him to do, he told his wife, honey, come on. We got somewhere to go. God has dealt with me. We've got to go do a job. No more waiting. No more sitting around. No more debating on whether or not he's talking. God said to move and let's go. That's what God is doing right now. He's saying, okay, little bride, you know who you are now. It's time to move. Let's get out of here. Oh, it's time to go. This bride is in action now. I'm going to read a quote over here in Feast of the Trumpets. Because, you know, sometimes we quote different things, and I use that story as an example, but sometimes we quote things, and in the church world will get mad at us because maybe I say the spirit of the director instead of the spirit of the composer. And they get mad that we're not quoting it exactly word for word. That's because you're not in the spirit of the author. You get in the spirit of the author, you'll understand what I'm saying. And like I said, I got to preach from where I'm at, but I'd like to put it in simple terms. If I tell my kids, if I tell Jonathan, and I love him so much, I want to make sure I put that on record for him. I love him so much. But if I tell him to take out the trash, okay? And I say, hey, Jonathan, take out the trash. And I get home and there's trash. Maybe the trash can in the bathroom is full. The trash can in his room is full. But he took the trash out of the kitchen. And he goes, Dad, I did take out the trash. You said take out the trash. I took out the trash. Well, you get in the spirit of the author. I meant all the trash. I don't want to see any trash. If you walk past trash, take it out. I want trash from the bathroom. I want trash in the yard. I want trash by the trash can. I want all the trash out. Amen. That's the spirit of the author.
Yeah.
When I say all, I mean all.
All.
All. See, the church world has spliced up God's word so much that when he says that all that the Father hath given him will come, they go, well, not all. Just those that are in church. Not all, but just those that believed a little bit of this, or those that did this, or those that did that. No, he said all. All that the Father has given will come. Matter of fact, he said it so much so, he said, those that are alive and remain shall not hinder. See, because the church world will have you putting all this law on you. Oh, you got to do this. Oh, you got to do that. Oh, you got. No, love should make you do that. See, because I don't want the church world to think I'm greasy grace. You got a job to do, but nothing you do will hold up God.
Amen.
Nothing you will do will hold up God. If he's got to break your leg, he'll do it to make sure you do the job he's going to get done. We're living proof of that. Whatever God wants to get done, he's going to get done. Now we've always said it. You can go in the car or on the bumper, but you're going. And that's just how it is. But let's read this quote here, Feast of the Trumpet. I wanted to read this real quick. And I just, you know, the more I listen to Brother Branham and hear about him, I'm like, man, that man was so revelated. And he literally was just laying the foundation so much, so fast. He had to preach so many services so much. And the way I'm looking at it, I was like, it wasn't even for those people anyway. I mean, we're getting more of the gold out of Brother Branham's services than they got out of it. They took it and denominated, made a cult, made it all this. We're taking it, we're saying, he says we're free. He says we've got it. He says there's nothing left to do. And they're taking and denominating and making one message church better than the next message church, better than the next message church, just within the message churches. But we take it, and this thing is giving life. It's not giving us death. But anyway, let's read over here. Feast of the Trumpets, 1964. And I'm going to read up at paragraph 137. It says, therefore, when the trumpet sounds, we see something in earth today. There's a great trouble somewhere. Everybody knows it. And this is in 64, Brother Branham. It's more trouble now. Everybody has become neurotic. The whole world is a neurotical world. And we know there is something wrong. The Pentagon, everywhere. We know there is something wrong. This is Brother Branham, 1964. Now, the only way you'll know what the trumpet sound is to look what the music sheet says. That's all. There's a great symphony you see beating. And he said, like Peter and the Wolf. He's talking about a play. He said, see, when you, and the composer has wrote the book, and the director, see, because you have a composer, and the director is going to play what the composer put together. Says the director must be in the same spirit as the composer, the person that wrote all the words.
And if he don't, he gives the wrong beat. And then the whole thing is out. And he said, that's the matter today. We've got too many directors that are not in the spirit of the composer. And they say, the denomination well will believe this. And they denominate. That's not the spirit of the composer.
Right.
It shouldn't be a denomination. Matter of fact, the more we're learning about this, we're learning that the body is together. When we first looked at it, we had them isolated. Yeah. Paul, you got your job to do, but you're over there. Wesley, you got your job to do, but you're over here. Irenaeus, you got your job to do, but you're over here.
Right.
And then the more we're getting our eyes opened up, we're saying, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Luther, the whole body.
Amen.
You don't have a part to play outside of me, and I don't have a part to play outside of you.
Right.
See, that's some directors that are in the spirit of the composer.
Yes.
That's somebody that's on beat. Oh, that's a oneness. When you're not on beat, it shows. It shows. If everybody's on the 2 and the 4 and you're on the 1 and the 3, you're out.
Yeah.
Come on now. It's just common sense.
Right.
If we're clapping along and you keep hearing the clap and then you clap, you're late.
Right.
That's just common sense.
Amen.
But the thing about it is we're never late with the word. We move when God moves. God says take a step, we take a step.
Yes.
We take that step immediately. And I love that. See,
hey,
what I'm preaching about tonight is that quickening power. Because that's what's got to be real. And you say, well, Brother Jay, I hear the term quickening power. I hear the term this. I heard the term that. All it does when we use these terms, it's just showing you. If you have a revelation, you can move with the terms. But if you're trying to Paul parrot this thing, God will buck you off every time. Because we've seen people do that. They'll use terms like seven thunders. Or this is a great mystery. Oh, nobody knows how to go through the seven church ages. It's going to take years to explain it. No, all you're doing is trying to denominate it and make it like we have to look at one man. I shouldn't have to look to you for understanding. God should be the revealer of that.
Amen.
You should just preach the word, say the truth, and let God do the rest of it. You put the word out there, God will quicken that word. That's his job. That's what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do. It's supposed to lead and guide you in all truth. You just say the truth, and it'll keep leading and guiding me through that. Oh, I even love how even Brother Chris Louder said on Sunday night, he said, every time I open my mouth, all I'm trying to do is just edify the body.
Amen.
That's it. That's all I'm here to do.
Amen.
I'm not here to start a fight. I'm not here to start messing it up. All I want to do is edify the body and say, hey, little Bri, don't make this harder than what it is. If you hear the term dynamics and you think you got to add something, no.
Right.
There's nothing for you to add. Nothing for you to change. Let God come in there and quicken that word, and that's the dynamics. If it becomes real to you, you've got it. That's it. You know, through the Bible, all the examples in the Bible, the thing that separated the believer from the unbeliever is that the believer just simply said, that's nothing but the truth. They just believed it. There's no level of education that made it separate. There's no level of the family background that made it separate. It's no, if they walk with Jesus so long and they didn't walk with Jesus so long, it was just if you simply believe the word. That was it.
Right.
Oh my. See, I love what God does in here. We're a spoiled group. I say it in a good way and a bad way. Thank God I'm spoiled. But every now and again, it's good to be grateful.
Amen.
Right, to say thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, be spoiled and grateful. Then that's a good combination.
Right.
You know, I spoil my kids, but I want to hear them say thank you every now and again.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, Dad, for the lights. Thanks, Dad, for the food.
Right.
This is a hot. That stove is hot. The gas must be working. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom.
Amen.
You know, just every now and again. It ain't got to be every day, but I like to hear it.
Yeah.
Right? It just lets me know you appreciate what I'm doing. You understand it's something outside of you. That's what happens when I come here. I understand I couldn't have got this by myself. I understand that God had to build a church and put it in a certain location. He had to put the certain people. He had to put everything in place for me to be able to pick this up. He had to make this so easy that I just walked in here and sat down and said, that ain't nothing but truth. But to get to that part, somebody had to preach it. Somebody had to fight all those devils and demons. You know, Brother Childers had to literally fight this city, an actual fight, to just get this church, just to get the building. And I'm going to make this just about me right now, but you make it about you. To make this church sit right here, so that way me and my lazy brothers, when we got here, I didn't have to worry about a car because we didn't have one. I didn't have to worry about transportation because we didn't have it. He said, I'm going to make it so easy for Brother Jay because I'm going to need him later on. I need to make sure he gets the word in there. I'm going to make it so easy for him. I'm going to put the church in his yard.
Right.
I'm making it personal about me. Amen. He had to make this so easy that I had no way to miss it. Because Fairborn is an easy town to miss. You ever go outside of Fairborn and try to tell somebody where you're from? You got to say Beaver Creek or Dayton. I'm from Dayton. No, we're at in Dayton by the base. Isn't that Fairborn? Oh, you know the area. Yep, that's where I'm from. Otherwise, just Dayton or Cincinnati if you go outside of Ohio. You guys, I'm just saying landmarks. You can miss this place easy. But Brother Childress had to fight to get this place before I got here. That's God setting it up. That's God making sure. That's him providing. You know, even that scripture says, Jehovah Jireh, God has already provided. He's already provided a place of worship that we can come in here and just rest freely. So when we get worried about the quickening power, just know he's going to give it to you just as easy as he gave you everything else. Right? Don't overthink this thing. If you've got the word in you, he's obligated. He is obligated. He's obligated to his word. That's the only thing he's obligated to. He said heaven and earth can fall away, but my word will never fail. So if you've got that word in you, you've got a promise from God himself that he's got to take care of that word. Oh, even Brother Jeremiah said, he said, oh, you may live a different life and all that, but as long as you're not doing nothing that's going to compromise the word, God don't care at all. He don't even see it, so to speak. You think you're going to do something that's going to mess up that word, I promise you. That second. That second. Yeah, what happened to those people that touched the ark? Now, they were out, and they were walking, and they were bringing the ark back, and they thought they could help God. Touched it. And they died immediately. Don't touch me, is what God says. I don't need your help. So I'm saying that right now. Oh, I got to learn this. Oh, I got to learn. He says, don't touch me. I don't need your help. I'll reveal to you what I need to reveal to you in the time that I need to reveal to you. You do the part that I asked you to do. When you don't forsake to gather yourselves that much more as you see the day approaching. Yeah. If you're smart enough to see the day approaching, keep gathering yourself and God will keep revealing. Because guess what's going to happen every time you get here? We're going to serve the word. Amen. We're going to keep giving you the word. We're going to keep giving you the word and keep giving you the word. And then that quickening power is obligated to keep showing up. Oh, keep showing up. Keep showing up. It's obligated to do it.
Yes.
My. Now, one of the things I was looking at as I was looking at what this quickening power can do is, you know, Brother Jeremiah talked over about in Ezekiel. He's talking about how these dry bones can live, and they referenced that, you know, that prophet was in the ground, and they were like doing something with a body, stealing it or moving it, and then people came and they just dropped it, and it touched those prophet's bones, and that body came back to life.
Yeah.
Right? So as we look through the Bible to see the progression of how this quickening power has gotten stronger. That's what I want you to see. So at that one time, the prophet's laying dead in the grave. A body touches it. That body is resurrected.
Right.
But that person eventually dies. So that quickening power had strength. The prophet was dead. That person got brought back to life and died. Right? That's a little stage of it. It's not lessening the quickening power.
Right.
I'm just telling you that as we go along in this thing, it's gotten stronger.
Yes.
Why did it get stronger, Brother Jay? Because it had more word to work with.
Right.
The more word it has to work with, the stronger that quickening power could get. So let's follow this along. So, you know, even when you think about that was over in Ezekiel. Then you think about even Jesus. When he resurrected.
Right.
So when Jesus resurrected, we talk over in John 20 and 17, talking about Jesus resurrecting. When he resurrected, they got close to him and he was like, you can't touch me. I got to ascend. So there's one example where that quickening power, where you can touch even dead bones and get life. And there's another example where Jesus is back and he's like, don't touch me. Don't touch me. His job wasn't for anybody here on earth. His job was to go down there and get those people out of hell. That's what he was supposed to go do. That's was his job. So the quickening power was, I'm just showing you progression, okay? The one person, then the other person, then we get a little bit stronger with Jesus. And I'm saying the word stronger because that's our language to show more, but it's just more, right? Not better or worse. It's just more. Jesus had more word than the prophet that was in the ground. Right? So his quickening power, he says, don't touch me. He has to go down to hell and bring them out of hell.
Right.
That was his job to do.
Right.
But saving one person and getting people out of hell, that can't be the end. There's another group of people. There's a group of people that are living that this quickening power has to touch.
Yes.
There's a group of people that have to have the quickening power so strong
right.
that not descending to hell is my job,
right.
Not dying and my bones being touched is my job. There's got to be a group of people that have so much word with so much quickening power on it that they can speak the words to the living and the dead and say, bride, get up.
Amen.
That's where we're at right now.
Amen.
That there's a group of people full of the quickening power that can look all the way back and say, get up. That can look forward to this bride right now and say, bride, as a whole, get up.
Amen.
This quickening power that's on the scene now is strong enough to break the curse.
Amen.
All the other ones just were working within it. Right? They were working within it. Death still applied. They were working within it. This quickening power is going to do away with hell altogether.
Yes.
It's going to do away with this earth cosmos altogether.
Yes.
This quickening power is going to change our mortal bodies.
Yes.
That will never die.
Right.
Oh, my. See, you go, oh, Brother Jay, Jesus was strong. Yeah, he was, but he brought Lazarus back. Did Lazarus live 1,000 years? No. Lazarus died twice. All the quickening power, and I'm not even trying to reduce it. I don't want anybody to think that. I'm just telling you the facts. Jesus, with the quickening and resurrection power that he had, called for Lazarus to get up, and Lazarus got up. That was a miracle. He got up, but he died again. The quickening power that we have, still the same word. Don't try to separate. It's not Trinitarian. The same God that Jesus had, the same quickening power Jesus had. He, even Jesus himself said, you're going to do greater works will you do.
Yes.
Greater? Yes. More. Because it's more of you to do it. With the quickening power we have is going to change bodies that they'll never die. That's what this quickening power is doing. And how can it do it, Brother Jay? Because the word has been restored. You have the full word of God with the full quickening power. Those two put together, now you've got something that can move. Now you've got something that's got energy behind it that can get the job done. Oh, yeah, Brother Isaiah, you said it right. The mechanics and the dynamics. And Brother Jeremiah was preaching that so hard, just pushing that through, letting us know where we're at. We've been getting preached the dynamics for a while now. Brother Branham's been preaching dynamics. Brother Chill is preaching dynamics. We've been preaching dynamics for a while now. But let's think about what's a little bit different with the group now. Now, the people that were preaching it to us, they saw it. The people that was preaching it to us knew what it was, and they were using their best words that they could to try to break it down to you. But I don't care how much you try to break it down, until it gets revealed to me, all the explaining you do won't help me. Brother Childers could preach for 4 hours about the dynamics, but until I got a revelation on it, it wasn't going to change anything. I wasn't going to leave any happier or any sadder, because I was just saying, he sees it, but I don't see it.
Right.
But now,
right. Now,
tonight,
yes.
there's a little bit different ring when I hear it now.
Right.
There's something that resonates on the inside of me now. My faith has been built up to the point now where when you talk about the dynamics in the Word of God, I know I have the Word of God.
Yeah.
See, because the difference between here and back then, I wasn't too sure about the Word that I had. That was the difference. I wasn't too sure if what I had would take me all the way. I wasn't too sure if what I had was really the goods. I liked it. It felt good. I was agreeing with the word, but it wasn't real. I didn't have a new birth.
Amen.
I'm not afraid to say that. It should be different when you have a new birth than when you don't. You should talk with a little bit more boldness when you have a new birth versus when you don't. When I did have a new birth, I was grasping at straws. I'd hit it and miss. I'd know and I wouldn't know. I'd be doubtful and I wouldn't be doubtful. I'd be confident, then I'd be afraid.
Right.
But now I got a new birth. Can't touch me now, Satan.
Right.
You can't touch me now. Even if, you see, because see what happens back in the day is when I was hitting and missing in my mind, not necessarily in church, but just in my mind, it was, oh, you're not good enough. You made a mistake. A believer wouldn't do that. A believer wouldn't think like that. A believer, you're not as good as them. Right? It was division. Satan was trying to cause division. And I say, well, maybe not as good, but I do believe. So I'll just sit in the back then. Right? I'm not saying nothing ain't nobody else done. Sister Christy told you. She was sitting in the back. You know why she sat in the back? I'll speak for you, Sister Christy. She sat back there because she didn't know what it was.
Right?
That's simple. We all sat in the back because we didn't know what it was, mentally or physically. You sat back there because you didn't know what it was. You didn't want the teacher to ask you a question.
Right.
You didn't want to raise your hand during the test time. That's the truth of the matter. You don't want to be up here where I can look at you and see if you understand the words that I'm saying. That makes sense. Sit back there until you do understand. But that's what really it is. You don't know that you know. And the more you're sitting here, you say, no, but I do know. And you move up a little bit and you go, no, I know the answer to that. I didn't study, but I know the answer to that. I believe that. And before you know it, you're up here with three speakers, three microphones, letting everybody know. I know what it is now. I can tell you the day I got in here. I can't tell you the exact time. I was no longer sitting back there, but I can tell you it's changed. I know I've moved in the last 3 years. I can see it in myself. Oh, it's different now. You know, even with children, when they grow, there's times where they grow and then they can, when they take those big leaps, even they notice it. You know, normally you just grandparents can notice it because they're not around long. They see them every 3 or 6 months and they go, my, you've gotten taller. And the parents are like, no, he seems the same. Or no, he seems the, right? Because you're there all the time. You don't get, but when you take them leaps from sophomore to junior or junior to senior year or whatever, when you take them kind of leaps, everybody notices it. Voice gets deeper, hair gets different, right? Everybody notices the changes then. Everybody can see those changes now. That's what happens to a believer. Don't stop your progress. Don't get mad if you whatever's going on with you. Don't stop that progress. We see the changes. And there's going to be a moment where you see the change. And when you see the change, it's over now. It's over now. Because when we see the change as believers and we see you change, you still kind of don't believe it yourself. You're like, well, I don't know if my testimony's going to help anybody, but I'm just glad I'm strapped in. The church is like, whoa, I see you changing, brother. Oh, I see a change. I see something's going on there. And you go, well, maybe. I don't really want to testify all the time, but nobody can say it like I do. You better bring it when you come to the house. Right? And the body's like, yeah, woo, I see a change. But then when you see it for yourself, when somebody says, hey, I got a question, and you seem like the right person to ask. And you go, me? What? You think I have the answer? Yeah. I see your walk with God is steady. I see you're not moving all the time. I see you're steadfast and immovable. You look like you got a sane mind about you. I want to talk to somebody that can help me. And you look like you've got it together. And then you start recognizing, you go, well, I do have it together. I believe this word. I believe what God told me. I know who I am in a time when nobody knows who they are. That's quickening power. That's that word getting quickened on the inside of you that letting you know who you are. That's the new birth. The reason why I want to say that, I want to bring it back because sometimes we overcomplicate what the new birth is. When you can recognize your day and its message, that's it. The quickening power is obligated to move in on those words. And when after that happens, then God takes it and does what he needs to do. See, I love it like that. Now this group, we talk about it a lot because we're going to have the quickening power so strong. We got to call them all to get up. And there's scripture for it. We're going to get it here in a second. It says, you know, over in Thessalonians when it says, they that are alive and remain. See, the church world doesn't want to talk about the group that's supposed to be alive and remain. They don't mind saying everybody's got to die to get to heaven. That's okay. But to say that there's going to be a group that knows what it is while they're alive, right now, they don't want to do that. Because that means if we say that there's got to be a group that knows what it is, that means there's got to be a group with no questions. There has to be a group on the scene that knows the answers. There has to be a group on the scenes that won't accept that you don't know the book of Revelations. There's got to be a group on the scene that won't accept that you don't understand the two frameworks of the church. There's got to be a group on the scene that understands that my soul is eternal and that I come from God and I'm going back to God. There's got to be a group alive that knows that because that's what the scripture says. So the church world doesn't want to talk about the fact that there's got to be a group alive. But that's my scripture. That's the only one I want to focus on. Right. That's what I want to talk about because I'm part of that group.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. This is the group that's freeing everybody from the curse.
Yes.
Oh, and I'm not even, see, now that I understand that this is the body is standing on her feet. And I got one last thing I'm going to go over here and read it. But I thought, God has just been blessing this group. He really has been blessing us because even in scripture that I read, you guys know it, I know it, but it just hits a little different now. Like he said, it's different now. Because I thought, you know, God is a spirit. We can agree with that. God is a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. But the bride is on display, though. You can see the bride now. And even Brother Childers got to such an understanding with that. He said, when you see me, you see God. God is on display now, right? God through his bride is on display, right? God has quickened the word in his bride, which brought God on the scene. And now he's on display in a many-membered body. Oh, my. See, the mechanics and dynamics are mixed now. Life is to the body. God himself is here. But I want to read this quote here. This is over in Revelation 22. And it's in over verse 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride. The Spirit and the bride. The husband and the groom are saying, let's go, honey. Let's get out of here. The work is finished. I'm done with that redemption story. Let's move on into perfection. That's what's happening right now. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come as well. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Freely we're getting this thing. We're not working up on this thing. And it just reminded me of another scripture. It says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Yes. Right? We always want to change people. I can't change you. If you're not part of the bride, you won't be a part of the bride. All the names were revealed in the sixth seal. All the names were revealed. I can't add one name and I can't take one away. If your name's not there, it won't ever be there. And if your name is there, I can't take it away. No matter what I see, no matter what we do, it is there for eternity. All the names were revealed in the sixth seal. And I don't have enough time to go there, but it was just, when the book was open, all the names were listed. Redemption was over. That was the end of redemption. It was a redemption story when you didn't know who was getting redeemed. And then when he came to redeem, though he revealed it, he told you who was getting redeemed, and he did it. That's the end of that story. Nobody else needs, that's why Brother Childers and Pastor Moore even said, saving time is over. That finished it. When the seals were open, you couldn't save anybody anymore. That made it a finished work. And I know we're saying these things so fast, but the book was opened. And when the book was opened, all the names were listed. Those names that are listed, nobody can add one to it, and nobody can take one away. That's why we say that it's over. You can't add one more name to it. The reservations are already in stone. It's too late now. It's in there. He's married now. That's it. They're no longer two. They're one. Now you can't just see me by myself.
That's it.
When you see me, see, that's why Brother Childers was so turned on. He said, it's no longer two, it's one. So when you see me, that's you seeing the Father.
Yes.
Even Jesus was so full of that quickening power, he had to tell them. He said, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you see the Father. That's how far he got in his revelation, and that's how far we get in our revelation.
Amen.
And you say, oh, Brother Jay, where are you getting at? I'm saying Jesus, at the end of his ministry, got to the point where he had to say to them, when you see me, you see the Father. In here, that's where you start the story. That's how you start, is that God is in you from day one. That's the first service you get when you walk in here.
Yes.
We don't let you leave out of here with a Trinitarian thought that you're searching for God somewhere. When we speak the word to you and you pick that up, that's vindication that God is in there.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, my. So I'm saying there's levels to this thing, guys. I'm looking at this and saying God is just continually progressing this thing to the point where we're going to get out of here.
Amen.
That's how this all works. Even when you talk about rapturing faith, the quickening power, the dynamics, the mechanics mixed together, all that is for movement.
Yeah.
When that quickening power comes on the scene, it's to move. It's action. Matter of fact, that's even why it's called the quickening power. Even when Brother Jeremiah was talking about that story of Philip, you guys probably referenced it, but the story of Philip, Philip was a prophet or a messenger there, and he was baptizing somebody.
Right.
And when he finished baptizing him, Philip had somewhere he had to be. God told him to go somewhere. God just transformed him right there. It was a 9-hour, 10-hour walk with roads, 30 kilometers, would they say. But that's what he had. He had to get there instantly. And now theologians and all that other stuff, they'll say, they'll explain it away. No, Philip had to leave so quick. And come on now. Come on.
If somebody walks away from you and they got to walk 8 hours, 9 hours, I'm sure you'll see them. Yeah. Right? They're not going to get out of your sight that fast walking. Just in common sense. Right? It's a desert. You got to walk 30 kilometers. I'm going to see you. And if I wanted to say thank you, I could catch up to you.
Right.
But Philip wasn't walking. Philip wasn't running, and Philip wasn't on the chariot. God told him to go somewhere and just quickened his body to that spot. He moved him. He called him up, forcefully moved him. And he got Philip to where he needed to be. That's what's going to happen to us. We're going to be transferred in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Oh, you can explain it away. We're in the, during the tribulation. Brother Jay walked to heaven. Brother Jay, I don't care how you say it. I don't care what they believe when I get out of here. I know I won't be in the tribulation. And if you come looking for me, you can say I walked up there. I don't care. You can say I drove there. I don't care. You can say I got on a flight and just disappeared. I don't care. I know what I know, that God is going to transfer this body to a new body instantly. It's not going to be a long process. It's not going to be this falling off to that to this. It's instant. He said in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And as a believer, I hold him to that promise.
Amen.
Oh, my, my, my. Even Brother Branham said the church is going to go through the tribulation. He said the church will, but not the bride. Not the bride. The bride's going to get raptured out of here. Even that, even to say we're being raptured, that means that you're leaving before the tribulation. That's what that word means. To be raptured means you're leaving before the tribulation. So the bride will be raptured. By the very definition, we're leaving before the tribulation.
Amen.
This church, they got, and even Brother Branham said, he said, we don't have to go to the tribulation. We have nothing to be judged for. I have nothing to be judged for. And that follows all the way through. When we go to the white throne judgment, I'm not going there to get judged.
Right.
I'm not afraid of the white throne judgment. I'm not going there with fears. Amen. I'm not going there with, oh, my life was this. And when they play it back, hopefully I did that. Hopefully I gave Isaiah enough glasses of water. That's not how I'm going. That's not how I believe. I'm not dependent on you to take me. I know I'm going myself. I have a revelation that he's here with me and I'm going myself. Oh, my, my. It's got to be that real, people. It's got to be that real that nobody can take this thing away from you. Nobody. That's when the dynamics are really real, is when you go through something, no matter what's going on, nobody can take this away from you. Not your spouse, not your kids, not your job, not even yourself. See, I want to throw that in there, because sometimes we want to make this external thing. Not even yourself can take this away from you. Oh, I'll be like my wife's song. Sometimes I might need to encourage myself. If I think I'm starting to doubt what God's doing, I'll start just reminding myself. I'm like, remember when he got you through the lion? Remember when he got you through the bear? Remember when? And I'll just start doing that periodically. If I got to start outside, I will. I'll go, oh, I remember when I paid for Brother John. That was nice. Remember when I paid for Brother Dwayne? That was nice. Remember when I paid for Jeremiah? That was nice. And I just need to get it back home. But I remember when he took care of me. I can look back on my life when I was a kid. I can look adolescent, as an adult. And then I can come up present day, because it's got to get to present tense. We can't keep going in the back. It's got to be present. It's got to be today. I remember when God took care of me today. Today. When God took care of me today. When he met my needs today. When he let me wake up today. When he let me talk today. When he let me praise him today.
Amen.
When he gave me my daily bread today. When he gave me the message of the hour today. Oh, it's hard to get depressed then. It's hard to hold on to the problems of the world then. It's hard to even care about the rest of the world when you start talking like that. And that's when it's real. When you can talk yourself even out of what Satan's trying to put on you, that's when it's real. There's so many people that take this thing and they just play with it. Don't play with God's word. He's real, people. And we have proof of it after proof of it after proof of it. Brother Branham is a vindicated, most vindicated prophet. We had that. We had Brother Childers. Man, with less than a ninth grade education, bringing this thing word upon word upon word. That right there is a miracle. That's a miracle. To not be able to read. Come on now. Let's give Brother Childers his flowers. To not be able to read and to be able to reference, not just read, reference 1,100 message books. That's God. That's not even a level of intelligence that would even be applicable. That's a computer.
Yeah.
Right? I got it on my phone. I still don't even know what to type in the reference. Brother Childers would say, page 64 at the bottom, da 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 da. Of 1,100 message books with a ninth grade education? Not even, matter of fact, it wasn't even really ninth grade. I think he went to the eighth, started ninth, and then left out. So not even a ninth grade education. Barely finished eighth.
to have that kind of message that we're still preaching right now. We're still referencing Brother Childers, who referenced Brother Branham, who referenced Paul. We've been right for a long time. We've been right for a long time. Oh, my, my, my. This ain't no fly-by-night ministry.
Amen.
We've been right for a long time. I praise God for what we get. I praise God for what we know. I praise God that there's a group of people that I can serve God with. That's a blessing through these different ages, even through Brother Childers' time. He had to do a lot of stuff by himself. He didn't have a group like this. Matter of fact, he said something that stuck with me for years and years and years and years, and it's going to stick with me. I'll share it with you guys. He's talking about Brother Neil. He was saying about Brother Neil, he said, you know, we could have did more for Brother Neil. He shouldn't have had to do those things by himself. And that stuck with me. Because Brother Neil, good, bad, indifferent, whatever he did, whether he played the trumpet, did anything, did tapes in the back, did whatever he did, Brother Childers is saying he shouldn't have had to do it by himself. He was surrounded by brothers and sisters that could have helped him. Now, Brother Childers, to his point, he had to do a lot of things by himself. You know, there's stories of Pastor Moore and Brother John coming in here to scream amens while he's putting the tape out. It's three people to make up a service to get the tape out. Now, if I say I'm doing sound check at 9 o'clock, it's 30 people in the parking lot, and they start testifying before the service. A little different. A little different. That's, I'm just telling you, we've been progressing. As a body, we're moving a lot quicker. We're moving quicker, and I want to commend you for that. Don't take it for granted. I'm saying, but the road had to be paved.
Amen.
Somebody had to do some work here. And now we're recipients of all that hard work. Pastor Moore has put in the work.
Yes.
And he hear the tape or doesn't hear the tape. I want him to know that we appreciate the work that he put in to give us this opportunity to come in here and worship God in spirit and truth with no distractions, just free to worship him. Where else can you go that you can say, hey, I got a song? And they're not betting it. Hey, give me the words first. Let's read it over. Who'd you practice it with? Let's get some paid musicians in here and we'll sing it. You give it to us and we'll do it. That's how other churches do it. You talk about, oh, the music at this church is great. Yeah, they're paying each musician $30,000 a year to sing. And then they leave after they sing. They're not even there for the church. They could care less who's preaching. They're paid to come in there. You don't got to pay me to come in here. I come in here and make a joyful noise, and it's an expression of love. This service is an expression of love. Your testimony is an expression of love. The ministry is an expression of love. This is all done in love to edify one another. Where else do you get that kind of revelation? That's even what God said in the Bible. He said, by this shall all men know that you have love for one another. We're proving. We're the vindication, the manifestation of the word for the hour with every single heartbeat. Yes. You can't help but to let it come out. Amen. Last thing I'll say, and I'll have the musicians come up. I got a kick out of watching Brother Don Deskins today. He's watching you guys testify. And y'all are stepping all over everything he would want to say. And he's sitting there, and they're like, and I could even see Skyler look over at him like, is he going to say something? Not yet. He gave y'all a chance tonight, and appreciate that, Brother Don Deskins. I could see it on you, though, brother. I saw you moving. He's just like, okay. Then Elise got up there, and I could tell he was going to do something, but I appreciate it. I want you to know it's not unnoticed that I did see you, and I was like, I appreciate that, because he would have got up here and preached, and I probably would have closed it out, but it's all right. Got to give a chance to give an opportunity to come up here. Come on up, musicians. God bless you. Amen. God is real. He's real. Now remember, Brother Jeremiah, as he's traveling, by way of the announcements, I don't want to butcher it up, but they've got that thing back there for Thursday and Friday. It's first come, first serve, and they're going to be needing to get that going. So if you're really going, make sure everything's in place because, you know, we know things happen, but don't want you to take a spot from somebody that could go and then you not go, all those kind of things. So do what you can. Be adults about it. Plan it accordingly. It is it's a nice trip. We had a great time when we went there. And yes, Brother John.
If you could sign up today or this weekend, because I'm going to do the room, so we need to know how many people are going.
Okay. So this Sunday is the deadline then, right, Brother John, that we want? Do the best you can to get your stuff in there. I know some people get schedules like 6 weeks out, 4 weeks out, stuff like that for jobs, but do your best to get it wrapped up by this weekend so we can start getting planning for the rooms because we're going to need to get certain blocks and all those kind of things so we can stay together. I know they take good care of us down there, and my father-in-law actually lives down there, so hoping to get to see him when we go down there or whatever we can do. But Also, if you have a child that's going to be going back to school, meet me in the parking lot after church. Got some stuff there I want to talk about for you guys. So real quick, 2 or 3 minutes, but don't want to throw it on the internet and all that kind of stuff. So we'll do that. Let's sing We Fall Down, key of G, 194. God bless you guys. I appreciate you. We'll sing this and you'll be dismissed. We Fall Down, key of G, 194.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, and we cry, holy, 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 and we you're dismissed.